Okay, good morning. So we finished the Bala Tanya, so wanted to do one or two pieces from Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev. It's two separate sheets. You'll notice on the first line below the underlines that the line starts with different words. So we'll start with the sheet that says B'Maseches Rosh Hashanah. That's one we'll start with. I find something small that we can do in a day. So it brings down like this. B'Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yudzayin Amud Aleph. Tana Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, they learned in the school of Rabbi Yishmael, and it was discussing the 13 attributes of mercy. So in the explanation of one of them, that shows that Hashem has mercy upon us. One of the aspects of mercy is Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. Ma'avir Rishon Rishon, on a simple level, means when Hashem has to calculate your Aveiros and Mitzvos. And we know the Rambam says, Morris says, if you have more qualitative mitzvahs than Averis, then you're going to get a good judgment in Rosh Hashanah. And if, God forbid, you have more Averis than mitzvahs, you're not going to get such a good judgment. So when God makes the calculations, part of His mercy is Mavir, He removes Rishon Rishon, the first of the Averos. So He says, okay, Aver number one, we're taking it off the scale, putting it to the side. Aver number two, putting it off to the side. And now we'll count the rest of the Averus. And then we'll count the mitzvahs. Hopefully, by giving us a little bit of a break in the beginning, it could lower, and it could be those one or two could make all the difference in the world. In terms of if we look at if Hashem will judge us as righteous or not. But if at the end of the day, we have way more Averus, then He throws those other two Averus back on the scale, and you're going to get for those two. So it's all, what's the matter? What's the problem?
It's a battery.
A battery.
So we have to understand what that means exactly. Like, why does Hashem work it that way? But the Gemara then continues and says, "Bekach Amida," and that is the Mida, that is the attribute. That's the way it should be. So he wants to explain this. So he says, "Inyan ze yivur al derech maimer b'mesecha Shabbos daf ayin zayinam abeis." We can understand this concept with a Gemara in Shabbos on ayin zayinam abeis. There's extra sheets. Give Shelley on daf ayin zayinam abeis, and the Gemara there mentions a story that Reb Zera once found Reb Yehuda standing at the door of his father-in-law's house in a very cheerful mood. And he was disposed to answer, questions that a person would have, especially regarding the secrets of nature. So Reb Yehuda was in a very good mood. So now we're going to pick it up. So Reb Zera, in other words, it's unbelievable. We just have to go to the Gadol HaDor and say, and he says, "Listen, I'm in a good mood. You can ask me anything you want. And I'll reveal any of the deepest secrets you want to hear." It's a golden opportunity. So let's see what Reb Zera indeed asked Reb Yehuda. So I'll shelas, my taima hani easy maski beresha. He asked him, why is it that the goats take the lead in the flock? That the goats go before the sheep in the flocks over here. So he says, let me see sheep flocks going out. That's what seems to always happen. When the shepherd goes out, the goats go out first. Amrlei, kibriyasa shel olam bereisha. It's just like the creation of the world. Chashucha shel olam. Bereisha chashucha. In the beginning it's dark. And then it becomes light. Kamo Shenema, as it says in the Torah, Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker, Yom Echad, it was day, it was night, it was one day. In other words, it seems that the goats go out first, and those goats are, they're black, the black goats go out before the white goats, it's like, or the white sheep. So obviously this is a very odd Gemara. Like, what lessons can we learn from such a thing? So as he explains it, he says, Ine yadua b'kisva rizal. It's understood through the writings of the Arizal. Al pasuk vahi er vahi voker. On that pasuk of it was night, it was day. He says, Be'inyan brias ha'olamos. When we look at the aspect of the creation of the various spiritual worlds, Shehoya al yadei b'chinas ha'tzimtzum, that they all came out of an activity called tzimtzum, which means a constraint. In other words, as we've said many times before, that when Hashem created the world, Hashem's power is an infinite power, and if Hashem would unleash His entire power in the creation of the world, we'd be overwhelmed by God's power and wouldn't be able to have any reality. So if there wasn't this aspect of constrainment where Hashem holds back His power, the various spiritual worlds could not have any aspect of limitations and boundaries or measurements. Just like Hashem is infinite without any boundaries, then the worlds He would create would also be endless without any boundaries. Whereas Hashem is infinite. If He would use His infinite energies to create anything, it would be the infinite reality of God would permeate through them, and we wouldn't have any sense of reality at all. So He didn't do that. Rather, He cut, as it were, how much of His perceived reality could be appreciated in the realms of existence that He created. And therefore, l'chein hukrach lios b'chinas ha-tzimtzum. Therefore, there has to be an aspect of tzimtzum, of constrainment, within the aspects of creation. Why? K'dei sheyuchal lios hishavis ha-olamos b'chinas k'vul v'tachlis. So that these worlds that Hashem will create could exist in a way with boundaries and some limitations. And that's the only way we could live in such a world. We can't live in a world that's beyond the finite. And only God can live in an infinite realm. We can't. So therefore, God had to cut back. Although he can't really cut back because He's infinite, but He created that the perceptions within these worlds would perceive that there's less God in these worlds. And that is the aspect of, where am I now? Ubechinas atzimtzum zazeh nikra bechinas erev. And this aspect of tzimtzum, this is the concept of night. Kmo shekosav ayhi erev. And that's what it first says. And it was evening. But what really the Arizal is going to explain to us, why does night come before day? Why couldn't day come before night? Atzimtzum ha'histalkus or. This is the constraints and the removal of the light. That's what is Erev conceptually? Erev, evening, is darkness. What does darkness mean? There's a lack of clarity. So what is that? Well, Hashem is understood from our aspect as the infinite light, that infinite, overwhelming light. So when you constrain that light, that's evening. That's darkness. And that means, by He, Erev, there was constrainment, in order for there to be a creation that could exist. And then, Vayihi Boker. And then you have the morning. What's morning? Shubachinas Hamshachas Ha'or. That is the aspect of drawing forth the light. So, Adei Bachinas Kav V'chut Shushar Shubriya Solomos Kmo Shedua Kol Zahetev. We're just getting into all kinds of mystical things. Okay, we don't have to explain all these mystical things. But, the point he's saying is, that before there could be any actual perception of reality, which is represented by orb, by light, there has to be a tremendous amount of constrainment to enable that whatever does get through is something that can be perceived by human beings. If there would not have been any Erev, then the Boker would be so blinding and so infinite we could not live in such a reality. So there's the aspect of Erev, i.e. Erev, there's an aspect of constrainment, where Hashem holds back a lot of what his reality is, and that's the idea of darkness, it's hidden. And then what gets out, that light that he wanted to get out, that very little light, is still that ore that escapes into our reality. Now, he explains a little bit more. When we talk about the evolutions of the worlds, as they emanate from one realm down to another one, ribui revavos madregas, myriads of thousands of levels, mi madrega acher madrega, one level after another, more that evolves more, lamata, the lower, Yoser Baba Bechinas Gvul Vitzimsum. There's more boundary, there's more constrainment. In other words, of the four major worlds and all the mini worlds in between, you start from Atzilus, the world of Atzilus, which is just the beginning of God's constrainment. In that world, there's a lot more revealed. And then you go down another level, Yitzira, and then Bria, and then finally down to Asiya. The constrainment is more and more and more and more and more. Alright? And that is Ad Shavom Asiya. Until we get down to our world, which is called the world of Asiya, Yeshlo Bechinas Nifrad Melokus. There's an aspect that would appear to be separated of God, the Yenikus Achitzonius, and it seems that we're nurtured from superficially external powers other than Hashem. Come on, Ayin Sharim, like I said, the 70 bulls, etc., etc. Or the 70 Sarim, the officers. In other words, the ministering angels that sustain the 70 nations as opposed to Hashem. In other words, what this means is as when God's force and power gets into our lowest world, there's been so much constrainment, it gives the perception of the little light that's there, that really God didn't even make the world. God didn't make the world. It comes from other sources. And even within this world, there's more constrainment. Within this world, every day of creation was further constrainment. Even within the creation of the human being, the Bechinas Nefesh HaBahamios, in terms of the human being with his animalistic soul that's so physically focused, and Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah that the human being has, which is against the godly spirit and that of the Yetzir Tov. So you see that we're coming down to the lowest and lowest of levels. And as we've explained, an analogy to explain this is if you look at the, if you're looking at power, how cities are powered electrically or whatever, nuclear, whatever you want to call them. So you got a power plant, right? Got the power plant. Power plant's got a lot of power, right? And if a person wants to use that power, the power that you use in your home is thanks to many, many transformers that cuts the amount of power that gets in till it gets to your outlet over here on the wall. So if you want to to plug in a vacuum cleaner, so you plug it into the wall and it works. What if you say, I'd like a lot more power to make my vacuum cleaner super powerful. I'm going to plug it right into the main power plant. So much power will blow up the vacuum cleaner. It's way too much power. So instead, we have to reduce that power. Now, it's interesting. What would a foolish person think? A foolish person would think that the source of the power that powers the vacuum cleaner is that plug. That plug is the source of the power. And people can worship that plug. Now, you don't realize that if one day the main power grid goes down, you could be plugging in all day over there and nothing comes. Right? So, but by virtue of the fact that the power of the main power plant is so powerful, you can't use it. You can only use after many constrainments of the power, so you come to this little garnish, a little plug over here that's got, you know, a few volts compared to chesed of millions of volts that's in the main power plant. But a person would believe, you know, and if it's not this, maybe you want to worship something more sophisticated, like a power line. Got a lot of boxes, that's probably got more power. You know, but really, really the one you should worship is the power plant. So Hashem is that power plant. But he's so, I don't even know where the power plant is. They say it's in Pickering. I don't know. I don't even know where Pickering is. But whoever, no one even looks at Pickering. They don't even know where it is, you know. Where the real power is coming from? Oh, you know, one day, a few years ago, we didn't have any power in the whole city. Well, let's fix the plugs. Let's fix all the millions of plugs. Let's fix all the boxes on the street corners. So no, you got to go to the main part. I don't even know where it is, right? So that's the idea. So in this world, the power that we see, you know, is only on the good grace of the ultimate power grid coming from Shemayim. But of course, you don't see that, so you don't know it's there. And there's a tremendous amount of separation that can occur because of this. And so, how separate can it be? Down to the point where you have a physical human being who couldn't care less about there being a God in this world. And there's a Yetzirah that is totally not interested in the source of the power. Because it's, where is it? You know, I was just meeting with somebody yesterday. Somebody asked me to meet with the person. Really, you know, secular person, unfortunately did not get a good Jewish education. The guy's older than me, and he's got two not Jewish sons through a not Jewish marriage, although he thinks they're Jewish, because of course they did a convenient conversion. And of course, the shiksa is divorcing him and wants all his money, so he's getting real nachas out of that thing, and he comes and he says, you know, he wants me to be able to save his sons. Thank you very much. For the last 58 years, you blew your life out. And when I started talking to him about Hashem, I talk about, you know, it's never too late, and you have to work on yourself, and Hashem loves you, he'll take you back. I says, don't give me any of that BS. So I said to him, and he was like a feisty character, so I could, you know, I know who to speak to which ways, you know. It was not like this calm, quiet, introverted guy. So I said to him, you're so ignorant, you can't even tell me what BS is over here. I said, I'm a scholar of Talmud for 50 years, and you know nothing. You're so ignorant, you can't even give an opinion here. Which he understood. But the point being, but like he doesn't believe there's a Hashem. He believes... No, he's coming to Shabbos. He's coming to Shabbos. Fall, keep an eye out for him. I'll tell you who he is later. Okay? Because the guy comes in crying because he realizes his life is garnished. He blew his whole life on. A fairly wealthy guy, doing whatever he wanted to do. Any pleasure he wanted. His whole life is nothing. He sees the other day, I said, you have no one to say Kaddish for you. That's how successful your way has been. Do you want to try something maybe a little better? So, you know, I don't believe. I said, you know, what's going to happen after you die? The guy said, I don't believe in that. I said, you're too ignorant to give me an opinion, please. And he understood he was. You know, but certain people just say what they want to say, and when you got money, you think you could, whatever you say, people are going to listen to you. He comes to this rabbi, he says, I'm not going to take any of your baloney. So I'm just saying, what is that a dugma of all the concealment? Hashem is giving him life every second, and he doesn't even see it. He doesn't even see it. See how concealed it is? Because the guy's a big Yetzirah. It's a big Yetzirah. And whatever I kept saying, I said, you know, you can learn Torah. He says, no, I can't. He gave every excuse in the book. I said, you're just giving me Bubba Mice's excuses. You're full of excuses. Your whole life's been an excuse. Again, I don't usually do this with people, but he was a tough guy. You know, a tough guy, you just give it back to them. And that's how you have to do it. You know, other people I'm very gentle with, believe it or not. But sometimes I welcome and get a chance to put a guy in his place when he needs it. He needed it. So I said to him, well, you know, come to me. So what should I do? I said, how much is membership? I said, I'm not interested in your money. I don't care at all. I'm interested in your soul. So what should I do? I said, you come to shul this Shabbos at 10:30. He says, well, I feel uncomfortable. I said, forget about your uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable with everything in your life. You know? And then he says, well, I don't have a talus. I said, you don't need a talus. He's given every excuse in the book. Okay. I said, what do I do? At 10:30, you come right up to the cafeteria. You come right next to my seat. I'll give you a big hug and you'll sit down and I'll tell you where to go. He says, no, I'm too afraid to go. There's a big, pushy, powerful guy. But you see, it's a gornish when he has to come to walk into a shul. So I was, so God willing, he'll come. I said, then we'll see. But I'm just saying, that's how much constrainment. This was after, after I've done the Anila Dodi with you for the last 2 weeks, saying how much the neshama you have, Af Yisrael, Af Pishachot Yisrael. I'm looking at this guy, boy, he's so far removed from being a Yid. But I have to look at him. The Rebbe says he's a Yisrael. There's a neshama. And I try to talk to him this way, he thinks I'm from the moon. Right. So I said, you just come, you'll see. Right. So I'm just saying, so you'll see how this will tie into this. I'm not just going off for just a stomach vent. But you could see the guy's has been feeding his Yetzer Hara for the last 58 years. He's at every pleasure in the world. He's got businesses all over the world. But he doesn't have one person say Kaddish for him. The guy who doesn't even know what it means to give tzedakah. Okay, into the secular world. It's just totally, But then he asked me, are there single ladies in the shul? I say, why would any lady want to marry you so ignorant? I say, you go learn Torah for 4 or 5 years, then we'll see. I said, there are ignorant people who walked into this place, and after 4 or 5 years, they're different people. Maybe you'll be worthy one day to marry one of those ladies. But he's got a big Yitzhar, so he's got it. He says, when I'm dead, I'm just a clump of dirt up going to the ground. Okay, if you think that way, then why do you care to do anything? But why does he come to me, and as he comes in, he's crying? Because there's a neshama there in his elbow. Like the Rebbe said, the king is going out into the fields, and boy, is this guy a desert. Ooh, is he a desert. Mamashi. And then he did nothing in his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nah, he just feels bad. He's losing his kids for something. But he sees, at the end of the day, his life is done. The wife's divorcing him, wants to take all his money. You understand? And he lives only a few houses away from me. Lived. I'm just saying. So he sees life dealt him everything he thought were his gods. All these plugs turned on him. And he's got nothing to show for his life. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Right? Living in hotels. It's like crazy. So I'm just saying, so that's how far you can be nishtalshel, to the point where you don't even realize that. So Yiddish and neshama. I said, your grandparents were probably religious somewhere in Poland. He says, they were. He said, they're probably crying over you. But he doesn't get it. But he's so desperate, he'll put up with my mishigas. So after all, he'll come to shul, he'll be inspired. You never know. Could be nothing. That's all. He tells me, he's married to the sheikh. He says, yeah, I know one day I'll have to go to this reform rabbi to get a get. I said, let me tell you, mister, you don't need no get. You don't need your get. She's not Jewish, and your kids aren't Jewish. Now get it through your head. He says, well, the person that the mila said, the mole said, we're making a bet. I said, get out of here. Like, you see the ignorance. It's pathetic. I said, you don't need to get it. Well, I'd like to do it officially. Official, that's not, they don't believe in God. What are you drinking a cup? So again, I'm usually much more. I was being compassionate because that guy needed a good kick in the you know where, because he needed it. The guy's so full of himself; it's unbelievable. Got to knock him down a little bit. Have a little bit. What's going on? Anyway, so that's how far it's nishtalshel. So let's continue. Is there some rabbi say no? And this is what our rabbis explained, what Hashem explained to Cain in the Pasuk. Lefesach chatas roveitz, that sin crouches by the door. What does that mean? That sin crouches by the door. Shemiyad v'yitziras ha'adam. Immediately when the human being is fashioned, nisachsein ha'yetzahara imo. The yetzahara takes up residence within you. So then it becomes like your nature. That you have within your nature a desire, a physical desire, a lust for physical things that are superficial, that are against the will of Hashem. Ad Acha Yud Gimel Shana, until you're 13. In other words, you're starting off behind the eight ball. Every human being starts behind off the eight ball. Oz Niskala eight, so then when you're bar mitzvah, or bar mitzvah 12, Hayetzer Tov, then comes the Yetzer Tov. Vaz Yuchol, Bechinas Nefesh Alokus, Liskavel Yetzer, then the aspect, the godly soul, now has the ability to fight against the Yetzer. So why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem give the Yetzer a 13-year head start to get himself settled real good inside of you? He says, "Vatam lozeh." The answer is, "Kibriyasa shalolam." That's the way God created the world. Bereisha chashucha v'hadu nahara. First comes darkness, and then comes light. That's the way God created the world. Ki hasharish umakar lozeh, because the root for this is ubechinas atzimtzum. We come back to tzimtzum. We come back to this concealment, constrainment. Ubechinas atzimtzum v'haor v'hatzimtzum. There must be a print or something. Hu kodem laham shacha sa'or. There was the tzimtzum of the light comes before the drawing forth of the light, as we explain in Vahir Vavoker. In other words, what he's saying over here is that just like the world was created, first dark and then light, that's the way it has to be. So we're not overwhelmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that everything has some basis of reality in which we can make proper free will choices. So the human being is described as an olam katan, as a small world himself. So just like when God created the world, there was darkness and then there was light. So therefore the human being, there has to be darkness and then there has to be light. So the darkness is the tzimtzum. The tzimtzum means that the apparent appearance that this reality has very little to do with Hashem. And that's the Yetzer Hara. So that's the darkness that you have for 13 years. Now, of course, we try to deal with it with a good chinuch. It's not like we say, okay, I guess, you know, let your kid do whatever he wants for 13 years. Well, then the kid's never going to want to, you know, when the Yetzer Hara comes along, it's got nothing to play with. It's got no kelim. But certainly, again, a katan is potter in mitzvahs. Hashem does not calculate anything with a katan. Nothing. Whatever a child does, terrible averus, it's nothing. He's not accountable at all. On any level, he's not accountable. Because Hashem created him with such a Yetzer Hara. Now, of course, we try to bring him, train him to do a lot of good things. Although those good things you don't get rewarded for either. You know, it's nothing. He's a zero. The slate is zero until he turns 13. It's just not reasonable. And all we've done is try to train him in good things. But certainly there's a Yetzer Hara, which untrained can make all kinds of problems. Anyway, that's how it starts. Zeh Shomar, next paragraph. Zeh Shomar David HaMelech, this is what David HaMelech said. Hein va'avoni cholalti. Ba'avon cholalti. What do those three words mean? Perish. Hascholas briyasi hu ba'avon. He says, behold, my creation began with sin. Well, that's what he's saying. The word cholalti means hischalti. Hischalti. I began. It's a very strange word. Chalal. Chalal means a vacuum. A vacuum is when you don't recognize it's Hashem. Chalal. Cholalti. I vacuumed. That doesn't translate. It says, the beginning of my creation was with sin. Perush. Perish, ima yetzara. I was started off with yetzara. Shinis chaberim adam take of biyom haleda. It connected the Jew immediately upon his birth. V'yarekach omer. Then he says in the next part of the pasuk, leif tahar barali Elohim. Then Hashem created me a pure heart. It's right there. Ki bereisha chashucha. In the beginning, it's dark. Bechinas atzimtzum. Histalkus or Eloki. We start with the constrainment, the removal of the godly light. V'yachgach b'chinas or. Then comes the light. Therefore, l'chein nishtal shel gam b'briyas ha'odom. So it's created in the human being, emanates the same way. V'yas gam kem b'ofen hazeh b'tchila nivra ima yetzohar v'achakach yetzotov. First comes the yetzor, then comes yetzotov, as we explained. That's the reality. Okay, so we still have to get back to our two agendas. We have to explain what does it mean, why do the goats go out first? And we have to go back to Mavir Rishon Rishon, and I have 10 minutes, so I got to do that first before I can take any questions. This is what Reb Yehuda meant to Reb Zera. Or all better yet, this is what Reb Zera was asking Reb Yehuda. He wasn't asking Stam, why do the goats go before the sheep? Who cares? He says, but he's saying, Zakavonas Chavonazal, my time a easy maski bereish imra. Why do the goats go out first before the sheep? Perish lama the yetziras ha'adam. Why in the creation of human being? Nivra yetzahar mekodem yetzer tov. Why is the yetzahar created inside the person before the yetzer tov? Ki eis, a goat. Nikra yetzahar. That's a code word for the yetzahar. Because what's eis? Eis azut. What's azut? Chutzpah. Boldness. I want. I'm going to do. I have drives. That's yetzahar. That's code word for an ace. Now you're gonna understand everything so beautifully. What's the idea? What do you throw over the cliff on Yom Kippur? The goat. You confess your sins on the goat. It's the azut in me, the yetzahara in me. It was that tzimtzum that created false realities, the Kohen Gadol says to everybody, caused my avarice. And now on Yom Kippur we realize that, so we knock it off the cliff and get out of here. Now we hope that the red thread, the red roses, turn into white roses. Because once, what?
You passed over that kind of a chut, but there's a chut around.
Yeah. But that's what it means. That's what the goat represents. The imra, but the sheep. What's a shepselah? Nice little sheep. It's not like the billy goats gruff who are headbutting, you know. It's a little sheep, nice, docile. The sheep follow the leader, does what the leader wants. That's Yetzer Tov. The Imra Nikar Yetzer Tov should sown kachim, because we have a statement from rabbis. What did Jewish people call the holy sheep? The holy sheep. So that's what he. So he's asking, why is the goats going before the sheep? Why are the Yetzahara, which is the goat, the billy goat gruff? Why does a human being have that before the sheep that's willing to listen, be compliant, and listen to Kodesh Baruch and do what you should do? Why did you do that? So Amr Leis, what did he say? Kibri Yasa Shalom, that's the way the world was created. Reisha Chashucha Vahadr Nahora. First it was created dark, then it was created light. Perish, Ki Asher Shemakor Hishtal Shazos. What's the root of having a Yetzahara come in first? What's the root that we have even a world? Who Bechinas Atzim Samarishon comes to the first constrainment. Shekodem, Bechinas Or, before the aspect of light, as we mentioned before. That's what the Gemara means. You understand that? Now we come back to what we started. Zel Kavanas Tanadve Rabbi Shmuel. This is what Rabbi Shmuel meant. Mavir Rishon Rishon. Why does Hashem, when he starts to count up, he takes the first Aver away. He takes the next Aver away. What's going on? Is it just he takes two Averas out? Is that really what the Gemara means? That's not what it means. Ratzel Loyer means to say, Ki Shairish Umokr Lezeh. What's the root of the first attitude to Averis? Hu Bechinas HaTzimtzum. How does a Jew begin the process of going away from Hashem? It's because of the Tzimtzum. Shu Lutzarech Brios Halamos. That you need that in order to create a world. Shiyeh Bebechinas Gvul Umida. And that's the aspect of a boundary and a measurement. Vavain, you have to understand. So what I understand that he's telling us is I think a very powerful message. This is what I think this midah of Mavir Rishon Rishon really means. I don't believe it's saying, well, Hashem counts the first Aver you did the day after Yom Kippur and the second Aver the day after Yom Kippur. That doesn't make any sense to do it that way. But Hashem takes a look at your mitzvahs and averus, and the Rishon, what he means to say is, those averus that comes from the aspect of the first aspect of what, how you were created. Rishon, Rishon. That thing, you know, we did a lot of averus because of that Yetzer Hara that preceded the Yetzer Tov. Because Hashem has created us in a way that he created us to fall. He created us to fall. He created us to be overwhelmed by false realities. And that's what Hashem did. And to enable us to have free will choice. And falling has to be part of the process. Darkness has to be part of the process. King Solomon said, there's no person in the world that does good and doesn't sin. You can't do good without sinning. You're a human being. You're physical. There's a tremendous fight going on over here. And you will have lost many battles. And you will have given in to the Yetzer because Hashem set it up that way. And there was darkness, and we all go through a certain darkness, whatever level we're on. Even tzaddikim have their own darknesses. Everyone thinks tzaddikim were born tzaddikim. No, they got their own monsters to fight on a different level. You don't think a person like Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik couldn't have been a Sigmund Freud? You don't think maybe he had a Yetzirah one day they say, you know, let me just be a great philosopher all day long? You don't think he would have had notoriety in the secular world? You don't think, you know, there was some kind of Yetzirah there that he'd have to just dismiss it? What are you talking about? My life is, you know, God forbid, I'm not Chas V'Shalom saying Yoshe Ber would have thought to go off. I'm just saying, but that, there's a Yetzirah. What do you mean? The greater you are, the greater Yetzirah. What are you talking about? That's the rule. The greater you are, the greater Yetzirah. So Hashem, all of us, so what is Hashem really saying? Hashem is saying, you know, you fought hard this year. And you know what? Like a lot of your fights you have in now are going back to your past. And your past, gotta look at your past all the way back to when you were created. And a lot of what we do wrong today is still based from those first 13 years of being with the Yetzer Hara alone. And Hashem says, I understand. And I understand that, you know, you're gonna say, and if I have to judge you looking at the end of the tunnel, you know, I can't just look at the whole picture. If I'm going to start adding up things you did that are a result of what happened early on in life, that wouldn't be fair on my part. But why'd you do that? I gave you an obstacle course. Fine. But Hashem, so if we look, you know, could be the beginning of our lives were really bad. You know, person, yeah, so this, we come back to our fellow over here. This piece I saw right after I met with him. But this is way beyond. But I understood why Hashem brought that person to me before I learned this piece of Torah. That this person has no shaychus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. None. Because he started with the Yetzer Hara. So, but if that man wants to do tshuva, Yisroel, v'shachata Yisroel, he can do tshuva. And they're going to say, well, what's going on over here? For 58 years I did averus. Let's not fool anybody now. For 58 years I did averus. So okay, now I'm going to be a righteous man for the next 5 years. It still ain't going to come close to the averus he's done in his life. Right? So I believe that's the idea of Mavir Rishon Rishon. Hashem will take away that first aspect of life in the Tzimtzum lane. Life where Hashem never really gave you any light. And you didn't have any light. But then Hashem let you be introduced to Rabbi Machalos, who blazed you with light. And now the light's coming. And now you have a free will choice. And now you could look at your last 58 years and you could see what kind of a nothing you had. It was all because of the Yetzer Hara. And I kept telling the guy, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's your fault now. If you don't do anything, you know. So now that's Mavir. So if that guy before Rosh Hashanah will come to Rabbi Yerushalayim and say, Hashem, I've got to be better, and I want to change, and I will change, and starts to make a few changes, if you're going to look at the scale, you're going to say, what are you talking about? For the last 340 days this year, last 350 days this year, he was a complete worst Jew possible. And you're going to tell me in the last few days you're doing tshuva. What's going on over here? How serious can we take this? The answer is, that's the midah of Mavir Rishon Rishon. Hashem takes away the first. He'll put it to the side. He'll put it to the side. Let's see what you're going to do now with all this opportunity for mitzvahs now. If when you've come to the point to turn the scales, are you sincere? Are you going to make changes? And now the lights come out? Then you know what? The only reason you did those averus is because I set you up. So it's not fair for me to punish you for those. It's not fair. And I won't. But if after you know what you should do and you still don't muster it up, then Hashem says, then everything you got, you keep it on the scale and you're finished. So I think this midah of Hashem's mercy should give us a tremendous chizuk. Tremendous chizuk. We look at all the failures we've had and we have to realize a lot of the failures come back to that Yetzer Hara having the first advantage. And if you want to make real changes, even as we're only 1 week before Rosh Hashanah, Hashem can say, you know, I can ignore them all. And it's fair. Where's the justice? The justice is because I only use this as an obstacle to overcome. If you overcame the obstacle and you made all these mistakes, I'm not interested anymore. I'm not interested in punishing you. I'm just interested in seeing that you should overcome and be the person that you should be. So when we say these Yud Gimel Midos, I go, no say avon v'fesh, Hashem carries the sin and lets it go by, right? That's the Mavir Rishon Rishon, that's taking away that first. It's not just one Aver, it's a first lifestyle. God willing, we should be successful and Hashem should help us. Okay, I didn't do the other piece, so you get one more day of learning. Although the other piece is much shorter, but we'll come up a little bit more. Well, we'll learn tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
That's easy. It takes me time to prepare.